Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Game Cabinet. We're missing our host, Drew, today, so it's just going to be me and George.
Well, hello there.
On this tiny, epic episode of Game Cabinet.
We're going to talk about tiny, epic games.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research on these because I have not played them. And I know, George, you have a few favorites in the Tiny Epic universe. But for those at home, Tiny Epic is a growing series of small box board games designed by Gamelin Games. And each one is similar, but each one is different. And there's a ton to choose from. Yep. And they are these very small boxes of games that just pack in so much information. So much stuff.
Indeed. And you hit the nail on the head. It's like, I think the standard of practice that this entire company has with this line of games is that there is a absolute crap ton of game in a very small box. Like, the economy and use of the space that they have in such a small box, which is going to be the same size for basically every game that they have in this whole series, it is wild how many things they can cram into one little box that, to the untrained eye, you might expect there to be, you know, like a little game in there, but...
It's a lot of game for so little game.
It really is. I think here's a really good just rule of thumb. One of the more recent ones called Tiny Epic Dinosaurs, and they do a great job at having little meeple guys. For those who don't know what meeples are, they're little people miniatures, miniature peoples, so they call them meeples. This one, Tiny Epic Dinosaurs, has 75 little dino meeples.
And to get a feel for you listeners who, you know, can't see these games, these boxes are maybe like 3x5.
Something like that. Somewhere between,
like 3x5 and then like 2 inches deep, maybe an inch and a half.
Yep.
They're very small boxes and they put a lot of stuff in them. So it's not quite a board game, but not quite a card game.
They live in a happy medium place there, because they definitely all have like their own distinct kind of a theme to them, which is how they kind of make their way through, I guess, all of the genres that you could really possibly imagine, or they will eventually, at least.
So there's basically a tiny epic game for just about anybody, like whether you like post-apocalyptic or silly dinosaur stuff or space things or westerns. There's a western one.
Yep.
There's a fantasy one.
I guess we could actually just rattle off a bit of a list just to give an actual idea. So with prefix of tiny epic involved in all of these things, there is dinosaurs, mechs, galaxies for your sci-fi theme. You got zombies, western, as Hannah already mentioned, kingdoms, which is like a, well, we'll get into them. But just to give you the list here, the most recent one is Pirates, which looks absolutely delightful. And on the same page as like the Dino Meeples that you get in that one, you get 7 mini ships, like actual little pirate ships that you use and you set out on the board and you move your way across a little map.
That's delightful.
They managed to have it emulate more of a board game by having cards that you set out on the table in a grid more often than not, that kind of make a little board space in the center of the table that you kind of work around and play on. And depending on what style of game, sometimes that is a board for the characters. Sometimes it's like a little worker placement, little array of spots that you can use, as in Western. In Zombies, it's a mall because you're fighting zombies out of, you know, in a mall and trying to escape or...
I really want to try zombies, I'm not going to lie. I love zombie games. I adore them, and that just sounds so much fun.
Yep. I guess, chronologically, we could kind of bring them up that way. And then I'll mention a little bit about them. Hannah, having not played them as much, will have some questions to throw at the whole situation, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, so what was the first one? Chronologically.
So I was wondering if I should go like my favorite or just chronologically, and this happens to be both.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So maybe jumping out a little bit, but the first one that at least I am aware of, there's a chance I might be wrong by one or two, but Tiny Epic Galaxies is the first one that made a really big splash that kind of helped him catch traction and get the line of the games off the ground. And this one I have played at least a dozen times, if not, God, probably way more than that, honestly.
Well, and tying back into two episodes ago, most most of the Tiny Epic games are Kickstarted games.
Yep.
They start all of their stuff on Kickstarter, they get a ton of backers, and then they release retail versions later.
Yep, yep, yep. And sometimes we get on the bandwagon fast enough that we get some of the extra special deluxe little things that they include.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, yeah. But just to give you kind of a quick taste, dear listener, Tiny Epic Galaxies is a space exploration game where you send your little ships from each of your own little colonies out into space, and then you either have them land on one of the many planet cards that will be available to choose from to use that planet's little special ability, whether that gets you resources or lets you manipulate how your opponent's ships are doing their own thing out in space on other planets or on your own, or just helping you colonize other planets faster. So you can land on the planet to use their special ability, or you can send your ship into orbit, which will have anywhere between 3 to 7 slots that they have to kind of work their way around so that you can colonize that planet, bring it into your own little empire, and then that becomes something that you can just use whenever you want to in your own little colony.
Okay, so is it, it's not quite cooperative, but...
It's not. Actually, it can be... It can be, it has a mean streak in it if you really want to go that direction, right. Where you will find yourself sometimes competing with the people that you're playing at the table with to try and colonize a planet faster than they can. And there'll be a little doggy pile of the ship miniatures as they're making their way around the planet. And so every time you take your turn, you roll some dice, and there are 6 unique dice results that either gain you resources, let you send your ship off into space, let you colonize one of the 2 different types of planets that are in the game, whether they're politically based or financially based, which are the 2 little themes that they have to go with each planet. And then the last one is the colony action, which right off the bat lets you just improve your empire to add extra dice that you roll or another ship to your pool of ships.
Okay.
With the catch of, once you colonize any planets and add them to your empire, those special abilities become something that you can use with that last dice action, the colony action.
Okay.
So you're building a little pool of planets that you get to use their special abilities for, and each of those planets will also have points that they score you to.
So the point of the game is just to collect the most and get the most points?
21 points.
Okay.
Yes. Cool.
I was like, okay, but what's the point, though?
Yep, yep. So
all right.
Yep. And you get points for the planets, and you also get points for how far your own little colony has been advanced. And then, because they can't help but add a little wrinkle into the end game, everybody is going to start with a secret mission, which will be some sort of random element of the game that you're trying to achieve, like having the most political planets or having no energy left at the end of the game to spend on other resources. So basically, if you've zeroed out all of your resources by the time the game ends, you'll get a few extra bonus points, which can let you eke out a victory even if somebody else thinks they've ended the game and won.
Okay. I love those sneaky things.
Yes.
I'm a big like sneaky thing player because I'm always like, well, I might not win outright, but if I do all of this stuff, I'll have extra points at the end.
Indeed. This is a game that would actually get mentioned far more often than actually played, in the way that if somebody's taking too long of a turn in one of my old game groups, we would always tease the person that's taken too long by offering the other people at the table to, you know, get a quick game of Tiny Epic Galaxies in on the side while they're taking their turn. Because sometimes people just take way too long.
Maybe that'll be my new loading screen as a DM. Just be like, hey, loading screen, go play Tiny Epic Galaxies. I'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it's popular enough that this is the first one that they've kind of done a repackaging of. So if you come into Adventures or your own local game store, if you live elsewhere, what you might look for is called Tiny Epic Galaxies Blast Off, which they somehow made it even cheaper. They normally retail between $25 and $30. I think more often than not, we have them at $24.99 on the shelf, but it's actually like a $20 game. And for what you get out of it and how much replayability it really has, like, I don't blame them. This is definitely an amazing one to try out if you wanted to give the line of games a shot. If you like the sci-fi theme, you know, exploring space and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So after Tiny Epic Galaxies came out and was such a hit, because it really was a big hit when it first came out, what was the next one that they...
So between Tiny Epic Galaxies and Tiny Epic Western, which was the next one that I personally picked up, they had put out Tiny Epic Kingdoms and Tiny Epic Defenders.
Okay.
And they all have they all have a bit of a similar theme when they go to the fantasy direction. Kingdoms is, it's one of those, they call them 4X games. They actually have it conveniently listed here on the back. Explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate.
Sounds awful, but well, awesome.
It's a whole like genre of game that, you know, people that are in the, you know, in the hobby, you know, the board game hobby pretty deep, have probably heard of here and there. There's a lot of really popular ones that kind of fall into that. But basically, it really does, like, you follow those four things. You're starting to explore your areas, you expand your, you know, your part of the empire, whatever it is. You exploit the resources on those places to then exterminate your opponents.
Okay.
I mean, it's this, that general path of you're playing a game and you're trying to win.
Yeah.
With that one, you're going to have humans and orcs and wizards and all sorts of fun fantasy stuff. But then I think for just the flip side of the coin, they have Defenders out, which is a cooperative area defense game.
Okay.
So that you're actually working together to accomplish your goals.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Following those, they have had Tiny Epic Quest, which is so delightful. If you like meeples and games that have little cute miniatures and things that go along with them, you gotta like look up a picture of these online. They have, they're too innovative for their own good. They have so much effort put into these weird little like niche, very adorable things to go along with them. But in Tiny Epic Quest, they have little notches and slots on the meeples themselves, and you can literally put little equipment and swords and shields and stuff on them so that you can send your little meeple out with, like,
that's,
you know,
so
armed
cute
for battle and go in quest with your, you know, it's so cute. You'll know exactly what I mean if you just give it
Is Tiny Epic Quest one of their cooperative ones?
So that's one of the ones that we actually don't have in right now, and I feel bad that I didn't poke at that one to see. But I believe, so one of the things that I like so much about these, and if you do a quick search online, go hop on the Board Game Geek and kind of take a poke at any of these that seem interesting, they have started to, more recently, to my knowledge, they started it with the Zombies one specifically, but they basically give you every kind of version of playing the game that they can possibly cram into one box. So Zombies specifically has options to play cooperatively. So you're playing as humans trying to kill the zombies, or as zombies trying to kill the humans, or humans versus zombies at the table, so players can choose one side, and basically stir that pot around and you got any option that you really want to.
That's actually really cool.
Right.
I love games that do stuff like that, that have the modes of play where you can play the game multiple times and still have completely different game experiences, because you're like, today we're going to play zombies and we're going to kill all the humans.
Mm-hmm. there's only my wallet to thank for the fact that I don't have all of these games yet, but they all, I mean, with maybe one or two exceptions, they all have so different execution of the style, even though they still all fit in the same tiny, tiny box. But you look at the back of these games and you wonder how they actually have everything that you see in the box that you're actually looking at. But like the Zombies ones, just because I can't help but bring them up, they have the item meeples in this one too, but they also have little motorcycles and a little cop car that they can use to drive around the mall.
Oh no.
And try and run over the zombies, or, you know. Like...
Well, and then Tiny Epic also has the Ultra Tiny Epic games.
Yes, they do.
Which come in a box about the size of a standard deck of cards.
Yep.
Which is insane to me.
They have, I think the ones that they've done so far in that version are Tiny Epic Galaxies, and I think Tiny Epic, it's either Kingdoms or Defenders, but I can't remember which one. But they're less than $15.
Yeah.
For what is legitimately the same game, but an even smaller version.
Do they still have the meeples in those?
So I have the Ultra Tiny Epic Galaxies, which have little itty bitty tiny ships. I don't know about the Defenders one.
I'm just thinking about how quickly I would lose everything. Because like the Tiny Epic games in general are already very small.
They are.
And then I'm looking at the box for the Ultra Tiny Epic games, and it's just ridiculously tiny.
Yep.
I mean, great stocking stuffers, though.
Oh my god, yeah. We will be trying to get a bunch of those in just for that exact reason here in the next couple of months, but it's always been so great. Just to highlight how wildly different some of these can be, Western is one that, it's not my favorite out of all of them, but it's such a stretch from what something like Tiny Epic Galaxies or Zombies is. It's a combination of gambling, bluffing, and worker placement.
Huh.
like, I mean, obviously gambling, bluffing go hand in hand, but then while you're having these little miniature, well, quote unquote, miniature, little mini, like, you know, betting sessions,
these,
you know, playing
tiny
some,
betting sessions. Yes.
You're also sending your little meeple workers off to the six, I think it's six different little spots along the board that have different jobs that they can do for the turn. And there are moments where you have to roll dice against each other, and they included dice in the shape of bullets.
Oh, that's delightful.
Right? So, like, almost without fail, each of these games has some admittedly cheesy, but really fun and kind of...
You know, Tiny Epic Westerns might not be mm-hmm. your favorite thing, but somebody who enjoys games that include bluffing and yeah. games of chance and stuff like that, they may really enjoy, and if nothing else, you get bullet-shaped dice.
Right, right.
Which, can you really pass up bullet-shaped dice?
I mean, I'm sure somebody out there might feel like they could, but... Are they right?
I don't think they're right.
Okay.
I think they're lying to themselves.
So that one's fun. It's a lot of them go from 2 to 4 players. Some of them go up to 5. And they're just easy. Some people would take that as a negative thing. But when it comes down to it, there's a lot of really complicated games out there. And it's a bit refreshing to know you can come to this line of games. And in like probably less than a half an hour, you can get the game out. Open it up, read through the rule book a little bit, maybe hop online and watch a quick video of the setup and things, but you're going to be good to go in like 20 to 30 minutes.
How long do the games usually take to finish?
That depends on the people in your gaming group, but as a standard...
That is fair.
As a standard, usually under an hour.
Okay.
There definitely will be some that do take a little bit longer, but I think like the quotes on the box say 30 to 45 minutes, 30 to 60 minutes, 30 to 60 minutes. So yeah, about an hour or less. I mean, maybe the first time or two you play some of the slightly longer ones, it might take you a little bit
longer.
Well,
yeah, you got to learn the rules. You got to check the rule books. You got to read the rules. But I really like easy games. Mm-hmm. I get really intimidated by games that have big rule books and take a lot of effort to learn how to play the first time.
Mm-hmm.
A game that I can sit down with maybe a group of people that have never played it before and set it up and have it good to go. My kind of game.
Indeed. Indeed.
For me, that's a big selling point. Also, the fact that even if you do like big, complicated games, these games are still fun.
They are. They absolutely are. I'm trying to think of another one to kind of highlight how wildly different some of these games actually end up executing.
I keep seeing the Tiny Epic Mechs game and I...
So, like, they
love the mech meeples so much.
Probably the most fun, outrageous little meeple thing that they have.
They almost look like old school Space Invaders.
They do a bit. It's like with their, like, they're all chunky and they look like they're gonna just shoot your face off from their little plastic turrets, and it's awesome. So they actually have 4 power armors and they have 1 mighty mech, which I am sure that there are all sorts of different fun little themes and things that you can do. But this one's, I think more specifically, this one's gonna be a bit of a free-for-all, so you're just having, like, you know, arena melee, you know, mech combination style
just
combat.
Just mech fights?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Right. And once again, with the little equipable item meeples, where they have 4 meeples, so you each get, you know, one of the guys to root around and do your shooting and stuff. And there are 32 items on top of the mechs that are just there as little accessory equipment things that you get options for throughout the game.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
I want to play a little mech.
And then more... On the, I think the other one, the most recent one that I've picked up is Tiny Epic Tactics.
Okay.
Which they have a fancy little map expansion, which is so cheesy because it's in the same size box, but it's so delightful because they have like a desert theme that you can use for your game or a winter theme that you can use for your game.
So Tiny Epic Tactics is...
It's, okay, for anybody that has played it in the past, there's a game called Final Fantasy Tactics that... was originally, I think, on the PlayStation, but it came out as, like, they put it onto the Game Boy, I think, at some point, and it's a bit of a theme, which I honestly, it feels like they were trying to do Final Fantasy Tactics,
okay.
The little board game card game thing, but it's a gridded map with different elevations, and the most fun thing about this one is that the stuff in the box that you use as the terrain are actually, like, the little trays and things that you... pull right out of the box.
That's kind of delightful.
And so you actually, you have a little bit of a tiny bit of folding to do because they come flat in the box, but then you fold them up and then they actually fit back in the box somehow magically when it's all said and done.
They put so much thought into these games that it's ridiculous.
Whoever the designer is on the boxes for these games is a genius. Like, I don't know how they keep doing it, but they keep finding new ways to cram like way more into a tiny box than you'd imagine. So you have like elevation combat, and then there's this little ingenious, you have your different classes of your characters. So you have your more, fighters, you have your ranged like spell casting kind of guys. It's still got the fantasy kind of a flavor to it. But then you can go into the little terrain bits and pieces that are really actually built up from, the base level, and there's actually little stacked pieces of terrain and things. But if you go inside, you flip the terrain upside down, and you get to see the inside of the building.
My gosh, that's delightful.
And you make your way through, and there's little objectives and things that you go into. Huh. It's genius!
That's, like, the designers behind these games are amazing. They're like, okay guys, we have a 3x5 box. We want to make a whole new game. Mm-hmm. Put it in the box.
Yep, yep.
Go.
Right. So they get away with adding a little bit of extra expansion stuff by having, another box that's usually not quite as big as the other ones. It's a little shallower, but for the tactics one, like I was mentioning, there's like desert theme and like winter theme, and they actually give you these little, it's not even like felt, it's not felt. What's the material? It's like almost like velour-y, I can't remember. It's like a little cloth, little rollout okay. map that you set up, which has the base grid, and then there's the little boxes and things, and you just set them up, and you just have a completely different theme to your game.
Oh my gosh.
They're so cute.
I like it. That's so cool. Do they have more expansions for more of the games, or?
They do for some, but not all.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. There's some games that are pretty complete the way they are. It would surprise me if they had expansions for all of them, but. Mm-hmm.
The ones that definitely stand out to me as far as expansions goes is the Tiny Epic Galaxies does have one that's called Beyond the Black, which adds a lot more planets.
Okay.
And it actually, I think it adds like enemy colonies so that you can actually play it solitaire.
Ooh.
And have, the other colonies kind of auto running with the different rule sets. I haven't actually played in that form, but I know that's one of the things they included in that one.
I really appreciate games that have solo play modes.
Me too.
Because the reason I don't play a lot of games is because up until I started working here, I didn't have a solid gaming group ever. So if a game didn't have one player capabilities, I would just never play it.
Right, right.
I really like when games are like, oh, we also have a solitaire option for this game.
Yep. And then I've found for people that might have a solid gaming group, having that single player option is a great way to kind of onboard yourself into knowing how to play so that it's a lot easier to teach your group of people that you might be going to play with at some point. So that's super nice, especially when the games are as good and as fun as they are and as cheap. Like, I mean, at this point, you start getting into the $40, $50 range before you break too much of a sweat with board games and card games these days. But these guys have stayed under the $30 price point for forever.
Well, and considering, like, it's always a little bit daunting, I think, for some people to look at a game box the size of Tiny Epic Games mm-hmm. and see the $25 price tag, and you're like,
yeah,
ooh,
right.
But there's so much packed into these games. Like, it doesn't feel like a small game.
Yep, it really doesn't. I mean, just for fun, this is the most recent one. I'm going to go ahead and list these. Just picture the list of contents on the back. The Pirates version has 7 plastic ships, 48 wooden game pieces, 40 wooden cubes, 4 metal doubloons, 1 cloth drawbag, 3 dice, 42 cardboard tokens, 4 helm mats, 4 legend mats, 16 map cards, 1 market mat, 28 crew and captain cards, 11 merchant cards, and a rule book.
In a tiny box.
In a very small box.
I could easily see that if they scaled it to a board game sized box being one of those $50, $60 games, like if it was scaled up.
Right, right, right.
But the fact that they shrunk everything down, it fits nice in a game cabinet. It, mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't take up much room on your shelf. It's easy to transport. It's a great travel game. I mean, not to Absolutely. Play like on the road, obviously, because there's a lot of tiny pieces. Right. But, it's one of those ones. It's an easy game to throw in a suitcase. It doesn't take up much space. You can take it with you to conventions. You can take it with you on trips for the kids to play. It's really easy to take.
Yeah, yeah. I fully admitting, I have not gotten around to playing Tiny Epic Pirates yet at all, but just for context, this is one that they came out with an expansion, day one expansion as the game came out. But just, I mean, and when you get it, you're looking at, you're hitting that extra $15 on top of the $25, so you're kind of hitting your more average board game kind of price point. But if you happen to care enough or like it enough, you get another ship in the expansion called the Cursed of Amdiak.
Ooh.
You get what looks like a ghost ship to go along with your 7 regular ships.
Ooh.
4 more wooden game pieces, 12 more plastic cubes, 15 cardboard tokens, 4 cursed map cards, 2 solo mats, 13 captain and crew cards to add to the main game, and a ghost ship card. I was right.
Oh, nice.
So it's like...
And that box is like not even quite an inch thick. It's a tiny box. I mean, it's the same size, width, and length, mm-hmm. but it's like a quarter of the size of the other box. Yep.
So it's... Honestly, we figured this... Like, these... could possibly maybe fit into some other episode sometime, but they are so much fun and worth the shout out that this is definitely one. Like, if you're struggling to find a gift of a game for somebody and you're pretty sure they've never heard of these, you almost can't go wrong if you think, you know, if they're a sci-fi nerd or they like zombies or anything like that. If you pick the game that you know they like the theme of, there's a very, very high likelihood that it's going to land and be a great idea for that person. Just with, oh, we, you know, not going to promise that every single person on the face of the planet is
always
going to
like every game.
Well, not
everybody likes the same stuff, but they're pretty solid games. I mean, I see a lot of people picking them up. I see a lot of people playing them. I've wanted to play them. I just, you know.
We will.
And we need to come hang out at George's place and play some tiny epic games because they look really fun.
And they are absolutely worth the time. And then, I mean, like we said before, that one of the best things about them is that the commitment is low on your wallet, on your time, on your effort, but it can be high if you wanted to. If you really like them and you want to commit more, you can definitely try out as obviously many of them as you want. I guess, just like with so many other things these days, given a quick, you know, poke around online, seeing what the contents looks like and stuff like that, I honestly believe that at least maybe like 80 to 90% of gamers out there would probably love at least one of the games that they have in their catalog, depending on your preference of game style and all those kinds of things.
So you definitely recommend Galaxies.
It's your my favorite. First and always probably will be my favorite out of all of them. But I also, you know, I fear change. Nostalgia is an important factor in my mind.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. You know, you find the game that you really, really love. It encourages you to branch out and to try other things. But that doesn't necessarily mean they override your love for that original thing.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Although I really do want to get zombies and or mechs, because those ones with the little meeple cars and the little meeple mechs are just too much.
They're so cute. Every time I walk by the section in the store that has the Tiny Epic Games, I always have to stop and just be like, I want one of these games. And then I'm like, but I could also buy some new dice. Oh, no. Mm. And then, you know, that happens.
Fair. Yeah, you know, it's fair. Oh, man. I feel like they might even have another one in the works. I won't make us take a bunch of time.
No, you're good, you're good. I mean, they just came out with Pirates this year?
They did, yes. It was just earlier this year.
Which wouldn't surprise me if they've already got another one in the works. I would think that it would probably be another year before we really see the Kickstarter go up.
Tiny Epic Dungeons, it is.
Nice.
Okay, it finished funding earlier this year.
Oh, wow.
So they're doing a full-on cooperative dungeon crawling 1-4 players featuring a modular dungeon, epic boss battles, and detailed miniatures.
Well, I want that one.
We will definitely have to get that in the store when we can get the chance to. That one, yes, let's see. When do they quote? Estimated delivery, end of the year. So
oh, wow.
We'll probably see it sometime in 2022, first quarter,
nice.
Something like that.
I was going to say, about a 1-year turnaround is pretty standard from what I've seen from Tiny Epic Games. Like, they drop one, and then they'll drop one a year later.
And probably because of the footprint of their actual, you know, the box and everything that is involved in making the game, they might be one of the most consistently fulfilled on-time companies for Kickstarters that I've ever heard of.
Well, they've got a good formula.
Right.
They know how much space they have and what they need to do to make the game sell. I'm looking forward to the dungeon crawl. Because, you know, that's right up my alley. That's my kind of thing.
Well, and it's so within the scope of what they have kind of scratched at with, like, Tiny Epic Quest and even the Defenders and Kingdoms. But it's so specifically suited to, you know, like, they have this perfect little format of, you know, hey, we're going to give you this kind of a game. And it's going to be great, and it's going to be in this little box. And if you want to go on a little dungeon crawl, you don't have time to, you know, have your DM or dungeon master, or game master, whoever, get a game ready, but you still want to scratch the itch of going on a little dungeon crawl, then sometime later this year, early next year, that'll be a thing that you can do in a little $25 box.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Any other thoughts to add on your end?
No, I think that's it. Thanks for talking about Tiny Epic Games with me. This has been really fun.
Indeed.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our very Tiny Epic podcast today. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you, everyone.
I guess we'll put the games back in the game cabinet and close it up, and we'll catch you all next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.